Dearly Father, Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, of what biblical worship is, Lord, I pray that we would desire this heart, Lord, this heart to be with you, Lord. Lord, that we would have lives that would worship you daily, Lord, not just on Sunday or not just on Wednesday nights, Lord, but Lord, that we would desire to worship you, Lord. We give you this time, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, what word pops into your mind when I say the word worship? Is it a band? Is it guitars? Is it a djembe? Is it drums? Is it somebody whose hands are raised high? Is it somebody whose eyes are closed? Is it somebody whose eyes are open, looking up to heaven? Is it someone singing real loud? Well, the concept of worship is not just limited to the church context. Worship is a lifestyle. It's not something that we just do Sunday mornings. It's not something that we just do Wednesday nights. It's something that we should live. Some other forms of worship can be our lives, how we live our lives. Are we living our lives to please God, or are we living our lives for just ourselves? How our time is spent. Are we spending our time daily reading God's word? Are we spending time praying to God? Are we setting out a chunk of our day for the Lord, or are we just living for ourselves? Are we doing what we want to do? Doing chores or work. Doing these things with a heart that's joyful. Doing things with a joyful spirit. This is a way of worshiping God. This is a way of pleasing God. Through prayer. Are you in prayer daily with God? Are you praying to God? Are you having that communication, that relationship with God? And then lastly, finances. Now you might be thinking, whoa, Nate, I'm only in med school. I don't have a whole lot of finances. Sometimes I don't even have any money. But when you do have money, when you get money for chores, when you get money for doing a job, are you setting some of that aside for God? Are you setting some of that aside for Joer? Are you saying, God, thank you for this money. I want to give it back to you. I want to give this to you. Now, for those of you who are doing the 90-day challenge, you might be reading in the Old Testament how they kind of did worship a little bit different. They would bring an animal to be sacrificed. Priests would do it in the temple. Now, it's kind of bloody. It's kind of gory. Maybe some of the guys like it. Maybe some of the girls don't. But this was their way. This was to remind the Jews of their debt to God. This was the way that they worshiped. They had different animals that they would sacrifice to give to God. Now, here at Velocity, obviously, we're not slaughtering animals. After I'm done here and, you know, we're about to leave, we're not going to have a whole bunch of animals that we're going to slaughter at an altar or anything like that. We choose to worship God through music. Now, this is a tool for us to please the heart of God. This is a tool for us to feel closer to God. When we hear the sound of music, when we think about the words, it's a way for us to express to God how much we adore him, how much that we love him. Now, everyone in here this morning is a worshiper, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian. Now, the definition of worship is an action of adoring or showing devotion to. We are designed for worship. However, sometimes we happen to worship the wrong things. Maybe some of the things that you all worship are video games. Maybe you spend all of your money and all your time playing this video game. Maybe you worship TV, or maybe a show, maybe an actor, an actress, maybe the movies. Maybe you worship a favorite sports team. Maybe you worship a player. Maybe you worship the sport. Maybe you worship music. Maybe you worship clothes. And this is something I never really struggled with, and I'm sure much of you have not struggled with as well, but maybe you worship school. Anybody worship school? No? Oh. Well, then that's good. So I guess this point's okay. No, but maybe you worship school. Maybe school is something that is very attractive to you. Maybe learning stuff and gaining more knowledge is more attractive to you, and that's something that you put up above everything else. Now, we may not physically bow down to these things. We may not write worship songs about the clothes we wear or the movies that we watch. Maybe some of you don't actually set up a shrine to your favorite sports team. And if you do, talk to me, because then we have some issues that we need to work out. But whatever you might worship, it's whatever you devote most of your time or your attention to is what you're worshiping. These things aren't bad. We all like clothes. We all like music. We all like movies and TV shows. These things aren't bad. But when they're placed in a place of glory, that's when they're bad. When they're placed above God, that's when they're bad. Now, I am a Yankees fan. All right. I figured. I was fortunate enough to go to my first Yankees game 2 years ago. And there was nothing like it. There was nothing like being around people who were cheering for the same team you were cheering for, high-fiving in the stands, booing the team that you didn't like. There was nothing like it. Now, being a Yankees fan is not bad in and of itself. But if I put it in that place of glory, if I put it above God, if I put it as the most important thing in my life, that's when it becomes a problem. Many of us will gather around in a couple weeks to the Super Bowl. Many people will gather in a stadium. Many people will gather around their TVs, eat unholy food, wear jerseys, wear hats, maybe face paint. They might even get their friends all in a row and spell out their favorite team on their chests. This is their way of worshiping their team. This is their way of expressing such love for their team. Being a fan of these teams aren't bad in and of themselves. But when you put them in that place, when you start loving those things more than anything else, that's when it becomes a problem. For example, if going back to the Yankees example, being a Yankees fan, maybe it starts off wearing a hat. Maybe that's what I wear. And then it starts off wearing a jersey. And then all of a sudden I uproot my life and I move to New York. And then I buy season tickets to the Yankees. And then I decorate my house in Yankees house or in Yankee decor. Maybe that is then putting the Yankees above everything else and putting that team above everything else. Now, before we look at Mark 14:3, we're going to have to get a little bit of background before we look and see what a true heart of worship is. At this time, Jesus' ministry is coming to an end. The cross he can see, not behind him, but in front of him. And then among all his disciples, there's arguing among who the greatest is. But among all this craziness, and before all these events are about to unfold, there's a woman whose heart and attitude is right. Let's read Mark 14:3. It says, "And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, 'Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her.'" Here we see a beautiful picture of a woman who was wanting to worship her Lord. Here's a woman who poured out everything she had before the Lord. We see that in verse 3, where it says, "A woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head." We see here, this woman, she gave everything to the Lord. She spared nothing and sacrificed everything. Now, this perfume that she poured upon Jesus' head was worth 300 denarii. In today's dollar value, that's about $25,000 to $35,000.
Wow.
A lot of money. And you can see that this was very, very expensive. Even this marble flask was very, very expensive. Yet cost was not even in her thoughts. The only thing that she was thinking of is wanting to praise her Lord, to be in his presence, to want to be with him. This is a life that says that it's all about God. We read in John 12:3 that she even washed his feet with her hair. It says, "Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil." We see that she wanted to be in God's presence. That's all she desired. She didn't care what others were thinking about. She was obviously criticized for wanting to do this. People were saying, "Why don't you give it to the poor? Why are you wasting this on the Lord?" But all she wanted to do was show the Lord that she loved him, that she adored him, that she wanted to be with him. Just like Mary filled the room with this sweet fragrance, may we fill this room here in a couple minutes with the sweet sound of praise to our Lord. May that be what we sacrifice to the Lord. But are we like the disciples? Are we so wrapped up in ourselves and in our lives that we're not being a true worshiper? Are our hearts afar off? Look at verse 4. It says, "But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, 'Why was this fragrant oil wasted?'" In John's gospel, it says that Judas was the leader of the discussion of giving to the poor. It says in John that he, Judas, said these things, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Now, Judas's job as one of the 12 disciples, he was the treasurer. He collected all the money. He was in charge of the box. Nobody else was in charge of the box. Judas was the only one. And we see in John's gospel where it says that he was a thief and that he would take money out of the money box. We have two very different pictures of people worshiping. We have Judas here, whose eyes are focused on nothing but money and the world. And then over here, we have Mary. And here she is just wanting to be in God's presence, anointing him, giving him everything she has, even using her hair. There was no limit to her worshiping her Lord, wanting to be in her presence. These are two very different pictures of what worship looks like. We also see key words that maybe their hearts were far off. The disciples, that is. Maybe words like indignant, which means angry, wasted, or criticized sharply. We need to keep our eyes on the right object of worship. Worship the Lord no matter what other people think. Be like Mary and worship without reserve. People will always say that it's a waste of time to go to church or to worship God. You'll have that all of your lives. Maybe you're hanging out with your friends on a Wednesday afternoon after school, and you're hanging out and you guys are like, "Hey, you want to come over tonight?" "No, I think I'm going to go to Velocity tonight. I'm going to go to church and do that." "Well, didn't you go Sunday morning?" "Yeah." "Well, why are you going twice? Didn't you already do it once? Didn't you fill your quota of the week?" And then they might say, "Well, what are you doing Monday?" "Well, I'm going to the Truth Project at Velocity." "Well, why are you doing the Truth Project at Velocity as well? Why are you involved in 421? Why did you give up a Friday night to do a ding-dong ditch? Why are you spending 2 weeks of your life, of your summertime too, in South Dakota, doing the mission trip?" But I say what's wasteful is doing anything apart from Christ. What better of a way to live your life than to live your life through Christ, worshiping him in these different ways? So don't waste your life worshiping the wrong things. They'll only let you down in the end. All these things may seem nice and seem really cool, but they're not gonna fulfill your life. Instead, invest your life worshiping God with your whole life. Give him your best. Don't give God your leftovers. And just like Mary gave some of the best-smelling fragrance to the Lord, let us give the best of ourselves to him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful picture of worship, Lord, that Mary poured this oil upon you, Lord, that she spared nothing for you, Lord. Lord, she loved you and adored you. She sat at your feet and wanted to just be near you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as we sing the next couple songs here, Lord, that we would mimic Mary, Lord, that we would want to desire to be like her, Lord, that we would want to be in your presence, Lord, loving you, Lord, being next to you, wanting to have nothing more than to serve you and to love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.